Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Best Ever You Show with your host, Elizabeth Hamilton Garino, CEO and founder of the Best Ever You Network, helping you live your life to the fullest. How? Real people, including celebrities, real advice, real places, products, and businesses, real life stories. It's all right here for you with this radio show, printed magazine, websites, community, and more. Remember to visit us online, too, at besteveryou.com. And now here's your host, CEO and founder of the Best Ever You Network, Elizabeth Hamilton Garino.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to what's going to be the third rainy day from Maine here. At least we don't have quite as much rain as the folks down in Florida, but we're giving them a run for their money. I know baseball has been canceled here for several days, and it looks like it might clear up. I'm looking out the window right now. But I was thinking as that intro was being read that we better add doctors to our list of guests, because we've got a heck of a doctor with us. He's awesome. We've got Dr. Aaron Tabor with us. And before we went live on the air, I was looking at all of his CNN interviews and all this stuff, trying to get to know him a little bit better, because Dr. Aaron, you and I really don't know each other. You're one of the I'm starting to have guests on where I don't know them personally now. So welcome to the show. And we all look forward to learning more about you and what you do, and then introducing you to our network of people who seem today to just be absolutely thrilled to see you involved with the Best Ever You Network. So, you know, you're reaching a ton of people right now, so it's really exciting. So thank you for sharing with us for the next hour.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me. I'm thrilled to be here with you.
Yeah, you know, we could go in a whole bunch of different directions today, because I was looking, you know, you're an aging, you talk a lot about aging, you talk about a lot about weight loss, and you talk a lot about sun protection and healthy directions and so forth. And really, what I gather from all of that, though, is you're really a beauty from the inside out kind of person.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, when you look at just the traditional ways people have tried to anti-age properly, it's been just with topically applied products. But there's a very large emerging body of research that what we're doing internally is more important. Because when you think about it, when you apply a topical cream, for example, to your skin and your wrinkles, you're only treating dead cells. Those cells are already dead, those in the stratum corneum. But if there's nutrients that you can consume from the inside out that nourish your beauty, then that's what we can pursue. So if you're only using topical for hair, skin, and nails and anti-aging, that's only 50% of what you could be doing based on new medical research, and that's very exciting.
Yeah, you've written a book about this. With your, it looks like you wrote a book with your mom. How cute is that? I love that.
My mom's a great mom.
Oh yeah, yeah. And I'm a mom of four boys, so I, you know, I just love the fact that you wrote a book with your mom. But could you tell us a little bit about that book, the title of it, and more about it?
If you raise four boys, you deserve a prize, a Nobel Prize for sure. I'm one of three boys. This is my diet book, and we go through a clinically tested program. You know, there's so many diets that overpromise or punish you with really poor-tasting food, and it's all about suffering and denying yourself. But my clinically tested plan, we showed an average weight loss of 29 pounds in just 16 weeks, and that makes it so much more powerful than any of the leading national diets if you look at how much weight you can potentially lose over time. And of course, we combine calorie reduction plus exercise, which is very important. We simply had the study participants walk and publish that in a peer-reviewed journal. And so the book just tells about that study and how specifically to lose the weight in a very easy manner.
Now, that sounds wonderful. Who couldn't stand to lose even maybe like 5 or 10 pounds even, but 30 pounds? That'd be pretty awesome. That might be a little bit too much weight for me to lose, but I bet that really, what's the key there? What is that book, what's the diet about, I guess is what I'm asking. It doesn't sound like it's one of those you can't eat anything ever and starve yourself books at all.
Yeah, there's no punishment in the program. It's really about just great-tasting, high-protein foods that help you feel full, and that also that are low glycemic, so you don't have these sugar spikes. These sugar spikes followed by insulin spikes are very detrimental to your health. And, you know, just losing 5 to 10% of your overall body weight, if you're not at a normal body weight already, can produce significant long-term health benefits, according to the federal government.
Yeah. You know, we had Dr. Steven Sinatra on yesterday, and he shared, and you both share kind of this, I can tell, the same thoughts regarding sugar. And here at Best Ever You, we sort of talk a lot to our listeners and followers and readers about how, as Toscarina puts it, sugar's like crack, kind of. It's a drug, and it's very addictive.
Yep.
And, I don't normally talk too much about me on the radio, but just to share this with you, one of the things that I've done over the past 150 days plus of my life was to eliminate sugar from my diet almost, pretty much completely. Wherever possible, mixing it. It's totally changed my life.
Yeah, you know, that's an excellent move. Sugar, we're learning now, is extremely addicting, probably as addictive as illegal drugs, and we just consume so much of it. You know, and sugar itself isn't necessarily evil. If you and I didn't have glucose, pure sugar glucose in our bloodstream right now, we'd either be in a coma, seizure, or dead. So the key is to eat the types of sugars that don't cause those rapid rises in blood sugar, those blood sugar spikes. Those are followed by an insulin spike, which causes all types of health detriment. So like within my diet program, what we used in the study was the high-protein shakes that are low-glycemic. We also have high-protein bars that are low-glycemic. And it just doesn't cause those sugar spikes, which can cause you to be hungry faster. And the 20 grams of protein helps you feel full. And we just had a linear weight loss throughout the diet program, which is really unique because with most diets, you start seeing a plateau. People just stop losing the weight at around 8 weeks. And it's typically due to a compliance issue. People just get tired of the diet, or the food doesn't taste right, doesn't taste good, or it's too complex. People just burn out from following it. But from week one through the end of week 16, we saw a linear weight loss, which we were very happy because it showed that people were feeling full, they were enjoying the food, and participating in the walking program, which is easy. And so many people now, you have these crazy high repetition exercise programs that just inflame your joints and harm you. So,
yeah, it's a tough world out there to sort through what really works for you as an individual. And I know we talk a lot with aging athletes who are struggling with their newfound age to try and, you know, get back to where they were, and they just seem to, you know, the knee hurts or hips have been replaced or necks are injured or whatever. And I like what you just said about just simply walking, and it really is a non-inflammatory type of exercise. It just seems to be can't go wrong with walking, it seems like.
Yeah, walking is so good. Walking even tones your abdominal area. Swimming is also good, particularly if you can swim in the pools that are not overchlorinated. You know, some risk now with public swimming pools with too much chlorine. So if you can look for some of the newer pools that are salt-based systems to control the
the chemical.
So walking, swimming, low impact. I've spoken to so many massage therapists who are saying they're seeing 20-year-olds and 30-year-olds coming in already with blown disc and knees and hip problems, all because they're doing these very high repetition exercise programs. I won't name them by name, but you see them being sold in commercial programs, and they are literally just wearing their joints out. It's like flipping a light switch 100,000 times. At some point, the light switch is just going to break.
Yeah, the cartilage goes and it's gone. Yeah, I like what you say too about the combination of the food and the diet as well, because it doesn't seem like any of us are very successful without some combination of both. I seem to take my head out of the bucket of chocolate ice cream. I admit it, and that worked for a while. I decreased, the bad sources of sugar in certain ways, but I really did reach a point where I'm like, okay, great and everything, but now something else has to kick into gear. What did I used to do? Oh, yeah, that's right. I'm an old competitive gymnast. Well, I don't think at 43 years old I'm going to be doing that. So let's figure it out. And walking seemed to be really great. And then I kind of love Zumba a little bit too. Zumba seems to be, for me, kind of not one of those crazy, let's get down on the floor and do 1,000 reps of something exercises. It seems to be a real fluid type of motion for me.
As long as the motion is very fluid, like with Zumba, you'll be fine. And if you're not personally experiencing the inflammation with it, then it's great. And the key to exercise is just finding something that you enjoy. There's actually studies showing that if you're doing an exercise, maybe walking, even walking, say, on a treadmill, bores you out of your mind and stresses you that you're having to sit there and walk for 45 minutes, that that's actually more damaging to you than doing the exercise itself. We now know that the adrenal glands, for example, release cortisol, which is an anti-inflammatory, but over time, if you overstress the adrenals, you simply run out of cortisol, and at that point, you set up an inflammatory condition in your body, and you have the mental stress. So it's really key just to find something you really love to do when exercising.
Yeah, it seems like as human beings, we actually sort of balance on three legs instead of four, really, meaning mind, body, spirit, and really almost maybe a fourth of like movement and so forth. And if something is out, we go into maybe patterns of inflammation or really even illness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I agree with that. You know, when I was coming through medical school, we were not taught that stress had any type of connection to illness. You know, just wasn't believed. There wasn't really a mechanism known at the time. And now we know that if we're simply chronically stressed, you destroy your body's own ability to respond to that stress through the secretion of our own internal steroids to control those hormones, plus all the additional mental things that are going on. And that leads to disease. It leads to breakdowns of tissue. It leads to increased collagen breakdown. It's then to skin thinning, as well as coronary heart disease and all the other many long-term, negative diseases associated with chronic stress.
Now, I can't tell by looking at your photo how old you are. I was curious how old you are. If you would tell us how old you are.
I'm 42 years old.
Okay, I thought we were about the same age. I was like looking at you going, he looks kind of like he's my age. But I was.
I'm 75, and that, this anti-aging regimen is really.
You're kind of wise. Yeah, you're 75, and you look like you're 40. I love it. You're a wise 42, and I'm really wondering, sometimes it takes us a really long time to catch on to this stuff, whether you have a doctor before or after your name or not. And I'm wondering if there was a certain point in your career where you discovered this and maybe what it was.
It really came from my mother. My mother entered menopause and midlife, and like many women, she started putting on extra weight. She felt grouchy. She had the common discomforts of menopause, hot flashes and night sweats. My dad was miserable as well, too, as often happens, right? And
living through that.
She just asked me. I was in the medical school, and she asked me to work on just a nutritional solution to help her. And so that really opened up my eyes, just helping my own mother. And she's a great mom, and I have a great dad, great family. They've been together 46 years now. And just through helping my mother really opened my eyes to, hey, that we don't have to wait until diseases occur and treat those with drugs, that there are actual things we can do through exercise and nutrition and lifestyle changes that can have very dramatic impacts, not only on how we age and feel, but also on how we look on the outside. You know, really, when you see wrinkles on the outside or your hair deteriorating or maybe your nails is not in great health as they used to be, that really is a temperature gauge or a thermometer of what's happening on the inside of your body as well, too. So you can realize that same deterioration process is happening inside. So when you see wrinkles, realize that same deterioration is happening, to your heart and your brain and your kidney. And it really should be motivation to make those correct dietary changes, get on a more regular and rigorous exercise schedule, and avoid, the known toxins in the environment, chemical toxins, environmental toxins that calls us to age and calls disease.
Yeah, I always say you can really, I don't know if you can or can't because I'm really not a doctor, but I always say in my head, you know, you can Botox everything, but, you know, you can't really Botox your heart or your lungs or your, you know, you're in, everybody's so focused on the outsides of themselves, but really it's great that you've Botoxed all your wrinkles away, but is your heart functioning?
Right, exactly. You know, I guess the good news about that is that it's really never too late to start making dietary changes and lifestyle changes that can improve your health. So, of course, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. I really encourage people to start very early. You hear this traditional magazine advice, do this in your 20s for your skin, do this in your 30s, do this in your 40s. Well, in my research, I discovered that you're losing collagen at the very same rate when you're 18 versus 28 versus 38 versus 48. So I recommend with my skincare line, for example, which includes both topical and internal vitamins and nutrients, that you use full strength, full time, 24/7 for your entire life, because that's really the only way to age properly and age the best. And guess what? The same nutrients that help you look younger on the outside, they're also very powerful antioxidants that are helping protect your internal health as well, too, and support better heart health and support better brain health and better kidney health and muscle mass and support better bone health.
Yeah,
so
it sounds
really
like you
both at the same time.
Well, it sounds like you really help women and men age gracefully. It seems like we should all be thankful that we get to age, because the alternative is not so great. So, you know, the goal is to age, but it sounds like you're really helping people make their goal to be to age as gracefully as possible and as easy as possible.
Yeah, absolutely. And even though a lot of my messaging and products, et cetera, are oriented towards women, women play such a vital role in the community, the workplace, the church, the synagogue, and in the health of her family. And that mother, it really is the key decision maker on what's going to be consumed in the house, what health decisions are going to be made. So we're really trying to educate through that. So those health improvements and recommendations can be passed along to the children and to the husband as well. So.
Yeah, we just had that conversation after I was sitting at the table with my husband, and we were looking in our pantry, and I said, you know, after yesterday's phone call and today's phone call, I think we can do better than this even, than what we're doing. I think, you know, it's summertime, and we've got all the four boys here, and, you know, they're eating things like bagel bites and a bag of Doritos every once in a while, and I'm not completely opposed to all the junk food, you know, the kids and everything, and they're going to have a Twinkie now and then, but, you know, my goal is to really, this summer, to really be here for lunch and for dinner making actual good food rather than just grabbing junk or buying junk
think,
and letting them grab it.
Important point. Yeah, you bring up an important point. Everything in moderation, even with my diet, there's no prohibited foods. I do advise to stay away from trans fats, because those even in very small milligram amounts can cause heart disease. But, you know, an occasional Twinkie or occasional cookies and ice cream or other high glycemic foods, those are fine. It's wonderful. I love dessert myself. I love chocolate. I love Sour Patch Kids.
You like Sour Patch Kids?
Probably my greatest weakness.
Sour Patch Kids.
Yeah, I love those.
So cute.
Can't go to a movie without those. But, you know, just have it in moderation and, you know, balance that out. Make sure you're getting enough protein. There's so many women in particular that are protein deficient. They're not getting enough protein. And without protein, you're not going to have the building blocks to build collagen, to build muscle mass. You know, you lose muscle mass, and loss of facial muscle mass is a big part of aging. And just to have overall strength and energy from the protein. So balance it out, everything in moderation.
What would you say to somebody who's, let's give her 50, you know, 45, 50, who right now is just absolutely exhausted all options. They're sitting here listening to the show, which I know there are a few people listening, including one of my friends who's 50, just absolutely exhausted and wondering where in the world they went. Where'd their body go? What's the chin hair? What's the deal with the mustache suddenly? What's the belly fat? Why am I gaining 20 pounds? Why am I sluggish? Where's my memory? You know, all the things that are menopause. When you have somebody, night sweats would be another one. I have a friend who is complaining of night sweats. When you have somebody going through all of that at once and they feel like a train wreck, what is one step, just one step that they could take to correct what's going on with them?
Well, I'll have to give you two on this. One is to make sure you have a good physical exam with your own physician, in particular, make sure you have your thyroid level tested. Many women have low thyroid levels, but they're never tested for it. And at the same time, have your vitamin D3 tested, because low thyroid and low vitamin D3 can lead to obesity and a lot of these symptoms, as well as overinflammation in the body, particularly with vitamin D3. And then two, make a drastic, radical change with your diet. A lot of this is coming from not getting enough protein and consuming foods that have a high glycemic index, because if you're not getting enough protein, you're not going to have the energy or the muscle mass or the strength that you need. If you're consuming high glycemic foods, you're going to be constantly tired and feel, just have that yucky feeling, because when you have that sugar crash after that sugar spike, it's a very unpleasant feeling. It can make you hungry again, interfere with your memory, you have many other bad health effects.
Yeah, that's the worst feeling, the sugar crashes. I know that. They're gone out of my world finally after year. You know, I finally, my father is a diabetic, and he's been suffering with strokes and being in the hospital and kidney issues and things like that. And it's very, very difficult to reverse. Can disease like that be reversed, is where I'm going with that question. Can you do anything if you are someone who's listening to the show and you suddenly have diabetes or heart disease that's been discovered or thyroid issues and so forth? Can you still take those same steps to help lessen the progression of the disease? Or are you just stuck?
Yeah, you know, again, it's never too late. I mean, you can make dramatic changes in both your diet and your lifestyle that you can improve your life, improve how you feel, and in many cases reverse the disease. But again, you know, start as soon as possible, do it full strength, full time, as soon as you can. With heart disease and with kidney disease too, there's also certain types of protein that are easier, for example, for the kidneys to digest, certain types of proteins that can also like help lower cholesterol if cholesterol is contributing to your heart disease, mm-hmm. or the inflammation as well. That's certainly something people should discuss with their doctor about consulting mm-hmm. a good clinical nutrition.
But it's never too late. I like what you said there. It's really never too late to make, you know, because small changes have really big ripple effects sometimes, and most often they do.
You know, a lot of it's a mental change as well, too. That's why we see so many people that, say, pass away after an important holiday or a birthday. Just by changing yourself mentally, you can improve your body's status to hold on, to try to reverse that a disease progression. And so if you can make that mental change along with the drastic dietary and lifestyle changes, you can see a significant difference.
Yeah. Now, we've got probably half an hour left to chat with you, and I know that you talk a lot about sun protection. And there's been a lot of chatter in the news recently about sun protection, leaving all of us kind of confused, especially now we're hearing self-tanners are bad. Everybody was kind of staying out of the sun and spray tanning, so now there's some unsurety there. And then there's some unsurety regarding sunscreens themselves. So could you maybe give us some clarity on what you think we should be doing Or should we just be staying inside? I'm kind of confused.
All right, one, the best sun protection is staying out of the sun, right?
Yeah.
And two, wearing a hat and a long sleeve shirt, just simply physically blocking the sun from getting rays. On the flip side, though, you know, a moderate amount of sun is healthy because it helps you produce the active form of vitamin D. You can also get enough vitamin D just nutritionally, but if you take about 4,000 IU per day, you have to get those blood levels tested. But right now, the entire sunscreen market and story has been really in turmoil for the past few years. If you remember, even before the recent stories, most of the major sunscreen suppliers were accused of and shown that the SPF, that sun protection factor that they were claiming, was not actually as high as they were making a claim on the label. So people thought they were getting an adequate protection from the sun, and they were not. Now we know, for example, in Europe, there are 1,200 banned chemicals that have known toxicities to all human parts, whether it's breast, brain, the skin itself, kidneys, bones. Only 10 of those toxic chemicals are banned in the U.S. from the cosmetic supply. So a lot of the sunscreens may not have a high enough SPF protection factor. They may not be blocking against both UVA and UVB rays, and even more troublesome, they may contain a lot of these toxic chemicals. Many of the FDA-approved sunscreen ingredients themselves have known toxicities. So I personally recommend, until all of this is sorted out, is try to find just a broad spectrum that covers both UVA and UVB, has an SPF of at least 30, and also includes what would be called presently, quote-unquote, sun blockers, like titanium dioxide, for example. It's just a physical block, because we really don't understand yet what all of these other chemicals are happening. Apply frequently, every few hours, particularly if you're going to be in the water. Look for some of the newer ones that claim water resistance, and try to avoid those peak hours, typically like 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. In your local time area where the sun rays are the hardest. Also cover some common areas like the tips of your ears, tips of the nose,
tips of the ears are often
not covered, and that's a huge area where cancer develops.
Yeah, boys, the first part of my son goes, look at my funky tan line, and I'm like, that's a strange one, and basically all it is they're all baseball players, all four of my kids, and so they have their very tan necks and very tan ears. And very tan forearms. That's it. Everything totally white. Oh, it's so funny. But when I think of boys outside, I always think of their shorter hair and their ears always exposed. And I always wonder if there's a high incidence of skin cancer on men's ears and necks. I don't know.
Particularly the top of the ears. And then here in the U.S., skin cancer is more common on your left arm, because when you're driving, your left forearm is exposed to the sun more than your right forearm. One other interesting piece of advice, too, is now we know there's some inside-out antioxidants you can take that help protect your skin from the sun as well, too. And those are in particular like lycopene, that comes from tomatoes and watermelon, lutein, like found in spinach, olive fruit extract, and then green tea itself, and even soy protein. These work from the inside out as antioxidants, likely just to neutralize free radical damage and protect the skin from becoming overexposed. Of course, we can't make a legal claim that these are like oral sunscreens. You need to use those topically. But these are some that are internal that can support skin health when you're in the sun.
Yeah. I wonder what a green tea-based sunscreen would do. That might be genius. I wonder if there is such a thing. Do you have one?
I think some people are including green tea extract topically. It has excellent function as an anti-wrinkle agent, and it's in many anti-acne formulas as well, too, because it helps reduce free radicals and the inflammation from that.
I'm a green tea junkie, so I'm a green tea swimsuit hating person. So I'm the one out there swimming in the long shirt and the jeans. I can't stand swimsuits. When they invent swim jeans, I'm going to be a happy girl. It's like, what's she swimming in? Jeans.
Someone just got a great business idea. You know, there's some manufacturers now too incorporating sunscreen ingredients right into the fabrics themselves. I think some great
idea. Yeah, just total coverage. Now, does it matter? Me sitting here, I glow in the dark. I mean, I'm like vampire white. I mean, really, I'm so white. Does it matter? Like for me, I don't want to get a sunburn because I'm so white. But if somebody has darker skin than I do, you know, maybe an olive color or colored skin, are they just at risk of skin cancer and sun issues and aging problems as somebody very fair skinned or maybe I call myself extremely, extremely fair skinned. There's probably just fair skinned people out there.
Well, you know, none of us are immune to developing skin cancer, but if we do have more melanin in our natural baseline skin tone, we do have better protection from skin cancer overall. But, you know, you don't, as an individual, you don't know what type of genetic susceptibility you may have inherited from your parents or what new mutations may have arisen in your skin just during your reproductive process as you grow. So we all have to be careful and I think take equal measures in terms of protecting ourselves from too much sun. Remember too that UVA rays, they come all year round. UVB is heavier during the summer months, but UVA is attacking us year round, and that can also lead and contribute to cancer as well as wrinkles. So even in the wintertime, on a cloudy day, you're still receiving UVA rays hitting your skin. We also didn't talk about applying a lipstick or a lip balm with an SPF protection as well, too. That's very important for protecting wrinkles developing from around your lips and collagen deterioration in your lips, too.
Really? Really good point. Yeah, let's talk about that a little bit because people are always so focused on their crow's feet and what I have affectionately now called the 11s, the
right.
Wrinkle lines you get, the vertical ones. I don't know what for me those are like really bad my bad eyesight wrinkles, and they're starting to form and stuff, and I just hate them because I'm not an angry person, and they kind of make you look kind of like you're squinting all the time, and I'm like, oh, well, whatever. But those areas of your face, yes, pay attention to that. But lips as well. What happens to your lips as you age? Or stay
on the sun? Men complain that the little vertical creases, the little vertical lines above their lips. Smokers in particular who are always puckering their lips are very prone to develop these vertical creases above their lips. But just like everybody, every tissue, every part of your skin tissue, you know, you're losing about 1.5% of your collagen per year. So by the age of 50, you've already lost about 50% of your collagen. And so with that, the skin around your lips and the collagen in your lips itself are shrinking and diminishing. So that's why it's really important, again, to do everything you can topically, but also do what you can internally. And I've spent a great amount of time in one of my books. I wrote a first nutritional textbook on nutritional cosmetics, Beauty from the Inside Out, which is more of a medical textbook. It's not for the general layperson. But what I discovered through that process and many of the great companies and academic people that worked on that book and contributed to it is that there's a very small core group of nutrients with really proven abilities in human studies to help stop that aging process and, you know, give a much more youthful appearance. One of the interesting ones is kudzu. If you're from the South, you know what kudzu is. It's this natural plant-based vine that we use to control irrigation. But it turns out kudzu has these natural plant chemicals inside of it that are very powerful at reversing the signs of aging. And so that's one of the ones I would recommend. Kiwi stretch. kiwi seed extract is another one. Not kiwi itself, but kiwi seed extract. There's little black seeds, and it's been shown in quite a very good study to improve like the skin's radiance and decrease fine lines. And I have a group of eight of these that I have turned my neurocellular core T complex. It's just the best of the best that can help reduce the appearance of aging.
And we can buy that, right? We can actually buy that product.
That's included in my vitamins. The one I take personally every day. It's combined with some B vitamins, so in the morning when you get up, you can get that burst of energy and really nourish and protect your skin, hair, and nails from the inside out.
Yeah, healthydirections.com. Dr. Aaron is listed on the left there, and you can just click on his site, and everything that we've talked about is here and a little more. And I'm going to take us to the little more place here, because I am just absolutely dying to know what you were like as a little kid. I don't know if you've ever been asked
maybe,
that or not.
Maybe my mom,
were you a doctor in motion since birth?
My nickname as a kid was Snoopy because I was so inquisitive. If we stopped at a gas station, I would disappear behind the gas station looking at the parts and picking through things. But I was insanely interested in biology. I knew by ninth grade I wanted to be a medical doctor. Didn't know I would end up being a physician researcher studying gene therapy to reverse signs of aging. These are some drugs I'm developing, some wound healing drugs. But all of that expertise has really allowed me to understand how the skin ages and what's the best research science-based ingredients to protect the skin and the hair and the nails and reverse that aging process.
Yeah. Were you in sports in high school and things like that too? Or did you do anything like that? Or were you just always really super focused on medicine and being Mr. Snoopy?
Yeah, I played basketball, baseball, and soccer during high school and really loved it, loved the team aspect of it. And it was great exercise. It was exercise that I really loved doing. But I was studied all the time during medical school. It was such an intense experience. I call it 4 years of voluntary incarceration.
But,
it was a great
group. Yeah, you went to
great
Hopkins,
group of,
too.
I graduated in 1997 and have been doing my clinical research since then.
Huh. Wow, that's a lot. It's a great career. What do you think that you'll where do you think you'll go from here? What do you think the next 20 years of your life will bring?
Well, yeah, I think with the aging U.S. population, we really have to focus on prevention now. We can't wait until the disease occurs and then try to treat it with drugs and surgery, because there's simply not enough money in all of America to fund that. We really have to work on a prevention message. Part of that, for example, that I'm trying to contribute to is I've written a book about how to fight breast cancer through nutrition and lifestyle changes. And some of this information is just so mind-blowing to me. The average doctor, they just simply don't have time to tell you. For example, there's a Harvard study showing that exercise, rigorous exercise 3 to 5 hours per week, is just as effective at preventing breast cancer recurrence as taking one of the best-known anti-breast cancer drugs. So you'd want to do both of those, some very simple lifestyle changes and different fruits and vegetables, including green tea, carrots, walnuts, soy, others that have very potent anti-breast cancer effects, and also support that breast tissue health. So that's one of the first areas I'm working in is breast cancer, and hope to publish books in many other areas, those highest disease areas that people are having problems with, working on the diet and then the diabetes, already working on the wrinkles, and now the breast cancer.
Oh, you know, I wish you could bring me in and take a sample of my blood and try and figure out food allergies. I wonder if you could do something like that. I know that just put that all out there, but I have, and you don't have to or anything, but when I was pregnant with our second son, I developed anaphylaxis to peanuts nuts, fish, and shellfish. And I've almost, well, I've been resuscitated and then really nearly lost me and the baby with a third pregnancy from a reaction to walnuts. And it, I have never in my life been allergic to anything like that. And now have anaphylaxis. And it's led me to really open up about resuscitation, which was an interesting call with Dr. Sinatra yesterday. But also, it's connected me to this whole community of food allergic people and kids, especially. 1 in 13 kids has a food allergy now. Do you know anything about food allergies? Just curious.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting that many adults now are developing food allergies. It was thought beforehand that that was a very rare occurrence. One way, possible way to explain this was I heard at a lecture at an anti-aging conference in Florida, but was that if you are under chronic stress and you have adrenal insufficiency, meaning your adrenal gland simply can't make enough cortisol, you set up this entire inflammatory state throughout your body and including your GI tract. I mentioned, alluded to this earlier. And when your GI tract is inflamed, all of these proteins that have never before come through your digestive tract lining are now being presented to your immune system. And, and then in some cases, then you now have a food allergy to that. And I think the same thing with all the stress on kids today, whether that stress is coming from a split home, families that go through divorce, kids go through a tremendous amount of emotional stress that's not really recognized. A lot of times it's about just the parents and not the kids. The stress from school and from so many activities, parents have kids and every single activity they can when they're not having enough alone time just to develop their creativity. So it's not surprising to me, at least medically, in such a high-stress, high-paced society today that we're seeing more and more food allergies. And then it's well known that genetically, with each generation, a child has 1,000 to 40,000 new mutations compared to the parents. Our DNA is deteriorating over time. It's not evolving or becoming better. And so these mutations may contribute to food allergies. Just as we're seeing, for example, with autism, there's about 17 known deletions now or more of particular genes that contribute to autism. And so over time, I expect we'll see a higher incidence of many of these diseases simply due to DNA deterioration. And there's also more toxins in the environment. I mentioned the 1,200 cosmetic toxins that are banned in Europe. You won't find any of those in my skincare line. Only 10 of them are banned here in the U.S. But these toxins may be playing a role in the inflammation of our body tissues.
That's interesting because I noticed with the change in like emotional, mental, you know, the decreasing stress, my body sort of just chills. I don't know that I'd crack open a bag of walnuts anytime soon and risk it because it's really scary, you know. You just don't know. It's a 50-50 shot there, or probably more like almost 100% shot of ending up in the ER. But I notice with not schlepping to work 2 hours a day and putting myself in an office environment, not doing a lot of the things that I used to do, my body seems to finally be really mellowing out. I think I'm still allergic to some things, but I like what you just said because there's just so much stress, and stress starts the cycle. However you want to deem it, stress or whatever, environmental toxin, you know, all of these stressors that attack us. I like how you say that, you know, it just sort of does trigger inflammation, and inflammation triggers disease. And I think food allergies and, like, I don't know if it's scientifically proven, but autism seems like it's inflammation as well.
Yeah, I think or inflammation it's a complex interplay between all of those. You can have some genetics, you can have some stress factors, and then toxins that all contribute. And it'll end up, once we finally figure it out, if we do, it'll be individual for each person because we each have a different reaction to stress. We each have different genetics. We each have different natural tendencies. So, but you're doing the right thing. It's never, ever wrong to vigorously try to reduce your stress levels. If you can't change the situation you're in that's causing the stress, try to focus on not overreacting to the stress, because that's the one thing you can control no matter what the situation is, how much you choose to react to that stressing event in your life.
And then add in a healthy diet and some exercise and at least sort of warding off whatever you can, at least, stepping in the right direction. Yeah, that lack of sugar, I think, has really helped me a lot. But that's interesting. I was going to ask you a question about, I just lost my train of thought because you said something else. I think it was about, it just seems like it's a nasty brew of whatever it seems it can put all that in a pot, and it's inflammation and disease. But what I was going to ask you is, do you think that some things are just plain old viral, like a virus that we catch?
Yeah, it's well known that getting a viral infection or other type infection can start off an inflammatory, even an autoimmune disease process. So in some cases, that is certainly a possibility as well, too.
Yeah.
I think if it is an inflammatory process, regardless of that initial trigger, by lowering your stress, getting more sleep, particularly being in bed before 10 p.m. your local time, and exercising and doing a diet very high in antioxidants, you can modulate and support your immune system so that you're not overreacting to your body's not overreacting to that inflammation. It may not be a cure for it, but you can certainly mitigate and lessen the effects.
Yeah. Do you see patients?
I do not. I spend my time designing clinical trials. Right now, my big project is working on a gene therapy for wound healing, looking at how do we help patients with diabetic ulcers and patients with excisional trauma wounds, and then also as a secondary phase, look at how do we help for paralyzed people with pressure ulcers. So indirectly, I'm helping patients by designing tools so that physicians in everyday practice can have those tools, whether it's a weight loss program that's clinically tested that we know is not making crazy claims that are unrealistic, or having a new drug on the market to help them, to in turn help their patients. That's really my focus. So to try to do something that through one effort can help many, many more.
Yeah, I love what you just said about the ulcers and the diabetes and paralyzed people who get the bed sores and things like that, because that was a really, really huge point of concern with both my grandfather and my father when he was in rehab from his strokes, because if you're laying there, you're prone to sores, and then being a diabetic, that is a recipe for it's awful. So what are you
with record levels of obesity and rising rates of diabetes, this is going to be a huge area. And if you can't get those ulcers to heal, they become infected, and people have to start losing their limbs. And that's a terrible experience for the patient and extremely costly for the medical system. So if we can prevent that, then we can use those funds for researching a breast cancer cure, or feeding the hungry, or, taking better care of homeless pets even. So there's a lot of things we can save money through the prevention that we can use those funds for other things.
Do you think when, 50 or 100 years or 200 years from now, your name's going to be in common, it already is, but I mean an even more common household name of, he invented that.
It'd be a real blessing from God if you invented a drug or a nutritional solution that outlived your own life that long. So I would hope my work could help that many people.
Yeah, is that your goal?
I've had just a great model from my parents. My dad's a pastor, and he and my mom have helped so many people, just counseling them emotionally, that people that have went through every life situation possible. So I believe that being a servant to others is the model that we should live our lives. If that results in something much, much larger that persists many years after I'm gone, then, that's
I think
that's
you're headed there.
Good.
Pretty cool. You can kind of hear it in your voice even. It's interesting. My parents have been married a long, long time like that, too. It's cool, isn't it, when you're one of the few people out there whose parents have been married like 40 or 50 years? Isn't that neat?
Yeah, I know. I'm really proud of my parents. They're 46, I'm 47. So now my grandparents were married 54 years.
Yep,
on
mine
my
too.
Dad's side. Yeah. They only had one fight their entire marriage, and that fight lasted 54 years, but they stayed together.
That's so cute. That's funny. Yeah. No, my parents are like that too. It's my parents are each almost like almost 70. Well, my dad's 70, and my mom's getting close to that. And my dad's been kind of sick since 2004, and it's really hard to this is like we've got 9 minutes left here, but I always feel like when my dad gets sick like that, we've got to really all rush to my mom's side to keep her alive too and not get sick. It's very it's very scary how banded together they are. They're buddy buddy boy.
Yeah. Well, 70 is just so young in today's society. 60 really is the new middle age, and
yeah.
I think all of our goals should be to, like in the Old Testament, Moses, he lived to be 120 and died in full strength and full health, it says. So the Bible says so. I think if we can start making the changes early enough and do it together, it's great that, like, for example, your parents can be accountability buddies together. That's super important. Make sure they're both eating right and both exercising.
On your I noticed you're on social media. And you post, you just kind of did one of your social media things. I like that. You post, I don't know, they're almost like little blessings or religious reminders in your social media. I love that. Where'd that come from? Well, I know now where it came from, with your dad being a preacher and so forth, but that's unusual.
Yeah, I run the world's number one most active Facebook page. It's called Jesus Daily. And, it's just a site about an encouragement. It is just unreal to see, for example, someone in the Philippines newly diagnosed with breast cancer requesting prayer, and to see someone in Nigeria on their cell phone typing in a prayer and word of encouragement for that person. So it's just a super vibrant, dynamic site. We have over 8 million interactions just this week alone. And so we see just people inspired and encouraged all over the world through that Facebook page. And Facebook has done a great job in terms of connecting the world in a way never before possible.
Isn't it mind-boggling? I would never be doing what I'm doing either without Facebook. I was sitting there one day and I'm like, I'm going to try this. And it, all of a sudden, there's like 41,000 people following me on Twitter and just about the same on Facebook. And it's like, where'd this all come from? But you connect, you can talk to people, like this show will reach, it'll have huge reach all over the globe. And it's just from my little office and Facebook, kind of. It's wild, isn't
it? It's just really, it's really brilliant what our technology leaders have allowed us to do. By the end of 2013, for example, 70% of all Africa will have cell phones where they can access the internet, and so they can start getting health information and start getting learning vocational skills over the internet. By 2020, the entire world should be wired with the internet. So it's really exciting that, like you're saying, from your small office with all the health content and resources that you're putting out, you're impacting so many people around the entire world. So it's fabulous.
It's just wild. Yeah, you too. And do you? Does it ever frustrate you that you're only just one person? Do you ever feel like you have a day where you need to be about 20 people?
Yeah, I'm for cloning of myself, so it would be great.
New doctor mode you're going into. It's really.
I don't know. I'm so hard-headed, though. I don't know if any of them would listen to me, so I may not get anything more done.
That's really funny. But do you ever feel like you can't get what you need to say out fast enough or quick enough to reach those people in, you know, Africa or Nigeria or wherever?
Yeah, it's really frustrating. Particularly like on our Facebook page, we have 40,000 questions being asked per month now, and we just don't have the staff to even reach 10% of those questions back. So it is very frustrating that you're getting so many inquiries that you can't handle the workload. So I'm working on ways to address that now, but there's so many people in need just from a basic humanitarian standpoint. We're getting ready to launch some videos this week where a two-person crew has went to the poorest parts of Africa, the sex trade industry in India with the children, and went to the poorest of the poor so people here in America can actually see what's going on. Until you see it in video form, you really can't understand how grave the situation is. And just with a little bit of sponsorship, just skipping one meal out per month, you can radically change somebody's life, particularly a child in those affected areas.
Who taught you to not be entitled? You have no in your voice. You have no ego, and you have no entitlement going on at all. I can just hear it. Who taught you that?
Well, I think it's my my parents. You know, it's my faith in God and in Jesus Christ. Like, I know everything that I've done or accomplished could be taken away. I could have a blood clot and fall over before the end of this
I'm knocking
program.
Knocking on stuff here.
So
yeah, I know. I feel this. It's scary.
Yeah.
Go ahead. I walk on borrowed time, I swear, from being resuscitated once. I mean, I'm here to do something much more.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, it's very interesting to be able to speak with you. Is there so there's 3 minutes and 30 seconds left or so. Is there anything that I missed or haven't covered that you wanted to chat about? I know we've been kind of all over the place, but it's been really cool to get to know you.
Yeah, no, it's been a great to know you. Thank you so much for having me on. Great variety of topics. A big issue coming up listeners should be start paying attention to is the type of chemicals that you're applying, layering on your skin day after day. It's in your shampoos, your toothpaste, your deodorants, your skincare, your moisturizers. With my new line, like I just mentioned before, it's formulated to very strict European safe beauty standards, so you don't have any of those 1,200 banned toxic chemicals. Here in the U.S., only 10 of those are banned. I'm not sure why Congress has not done anything about it, but it's something we need to, as a nation, need to look at. Personally, I don't like being experimented on. I don't like a European beauty company selling the clean formula in Europe, but selling the cheaper to make dirty formula here in the U.S. And so I really want to educate consumers to start paying attention to these toxic chemicals, and let's do something to change it.
Do you think you'll do you lobby and things like that, or does that not interest you? I have a hard time with politics, so that's a frustrating cycle for me to fall into, but I always feel like I want to go lobby someone about marking almond oil and nuts in cosmetic products as well, a tiny fraction.
What I'm starting out with is I'm writing a book right now about chemical toxins in the cosmetic supply, and I'm going to start there to start educating consumers. And until enough consumers are concerned about it, nothing is going to change from the Congress because of the lobbyist money that are paid into Congress. So until the consumers are educated and know that, hey, when I put this skincare on and then I hug my child goodbye, I may have just transferred toxic chemicals to my child. And then when I take a shower and wash all those toxic chemicals into the water supply, then I'm turning around and then drinking that water at a later date until people understand that toxic cycle, nothing's going to happen. So for me, a book and perhaps a documentary is how I'm starting
I could see you doing
make an effort to change this.
I could see you doing a documentary. There you go. That'd be fun. We're hooked. We're hooked into that.
Very educational.
All right, we're out of time, but I would love to have you back on the show again. What a wealth of information. Please visit Dr. Aaron Tabor at healthydirections.com. And then what was the – you're on Facebook. You're easy to find on Facebook, but what was the other one? What did you say that it was Jesus something? What did you say
Jesus
that was?
Daily. And then
Jesus
I also
Daily.
Have my health and anti-aging site. If you just search Aaron Tabor and Healthy Directions, you'll find it there. Or go to thehealthydirections.com. And on my blog there, too, I'm publishing a few blog articles per week
awesome.
To keep people updated and educated about anti-aging and cosmetic benefits.
Yeah, we're going to cut off here live. We're going to go 15 seconds longer. So if you missed the end of the show here, you can listen to it on replay. I can see we're going to run right out of time. But yeah, and we're going to be putting some of your articles up on to Best Ever You as well. So that's really exciting. You and Dr. Sinatra, we're going to be posting some things or doing some things back and forth to get the word out more as well and bring you into our network. So I just want to thank you, and please come on back on anytime. It's a great conversation and just so much information. Yeah. All right. Well, take care. And where'd you say you are? You're in Virginia?
I'm in Virginia today.
Virginia, okay.
I'm based in Virginia and North Carolina, Winston-Salem, North Carolina.
Oh, fun. Okay, well, we know where you are. If we're ever down there, I'll stop. We play a lot of baseball, but we travel for baseball and stuff. So maybe I'll take you out for a cup of coffee or something and bring all my kids and husband and say hi. So, very cool.
All right, sounds good. We'd love to have you.
All right, take care. Thank you so much. Dr. Aaron Tabor, everyone.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you again. All right, take care, everyone, and please visit us at besteveryou.com. And if you'd like to join our network, you can go to bestyounetwork.com. And tomorrow we are going to be visiting with Carrie Murphy, actress Carrie Murphy. She's from MTV's Made, a really, really beautiful girl on the outside, but gosh, she is so cool on the inside, too. Just a wonderful soul. So Carrie Murphy will be with us tomorrow at 1 p.m. Thank you, everyone, for listening. And feel free to join our network. It's bestyounetwork.com. Take care.
Thanks for listening to the Best Ever You Show. Want more? Visit us at besteveryou.com. Be your best and keep it real. Confident, successful, caring, and beautiful every day with Best Ever You.